Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Chris Miles here, cash flow expert and the financial advocate with The Entrepreneur, welcoming you to the Chris Miles Money Show, where it's all about how to free up more cash flow today, how to have more financial peace of mind, more financial freedom, and, of course, not have to wait 30 or 40 years to finally get that stinking benefit. And so welcoming you out today. Love being on the show this morning. So grateful to be on. And grateful for our guest, Dina Watt, too, which I'm going to introduce here in just a moment. So today, just I want to remind you as well, you know, for if you want to get some additional information, really have some additional, you know, really take it to that next level with your education and really get some more stuff, you know, by all means, check out our stuff at moneyripples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. And definitely check out some of the stuff we got there. We got blogs. We got a lot of, you know, free education that's on there, too. We also got some education we really want to take to the next level, events. We've got CDs and things like that, or audios. You know, all kinds of things to be able to help you, you know, really take it to that next level and really understand how to really have more money today and more peace of mind and more quality of life right now so you live beyond rice and beans. Now, speaking of which, if you haven't downloaded our free ebook, please do so, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. So I want to introduce our special guest today, Dina Watt. Now, Dino here, I've actually known Dino since I think 2007 was when I first met him. And he was working with a company called Business of Marriage, or Biz of Marriage. And I love it. I'll tell you, just the things that he's taught and just, I mean, not even beyond the personal level. From a professional standpoint, I respect the guy so much for what he's done. Him and his wife, Shannon, are a great couple. They do some great trainings, especially if you're an entrepreneur that's really looking for that ability to connect on a different level, the ability to be able to grow together and to be able to work together. Him and his wife Shannon do a fantastic job. Dino also is I've known him to train in several different formats, and I'll tell you, the guy knows his stuff. The guy is real. He's the real deal. Just like anybody I like to bring on the show, I don't like to bring on posers, so to speak. I don't want to bring on people that just talk the talk but can't walk the walk. But Dino is really that guy that does that, and a brilliant mind plus a big heart. So Dino, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Chris. Wow, that was an awesome intro. I'll have you do all my intros from now on. That was a really cool thing.
No deal.
Yeah, we have known each other for quite a while, seen each other through some interesting times. And I've just been able to watch your company grow and see what you've done with it and been super impressed with that. So I'm thrilled to be here on the show, especially talking about money. I love talking about money.
Yeah, especially money and relationships, right? That's not a sore point at all. I mean, it's hard enough to have a relationship. Then you have money on top of it, right?
Yeah, I think it was we quote, now I can't remember the guy we quote, but in our event, Shannon used to quote a guy who said that money is the final taboo in marriage, even more than sex. Like, people would rather talk about their sex life than they would about their financial life.
For sure.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how it can affect people.
Yeah, if you're not so sure about that, just check Facebook. You'll find that's going to be true.
Yeah, that's no doubt. Well, it said that, you know, they always say that money is the number one cause of divorce. And I think it's actually the number one stated cause of divorce. I always think it's part of the symptom. I don't think it's always the entire thing, but that is the number one reason why people state, you know, their desire to get a divorce is because of money issues.
I've noticed the number one system for divorce or symptom, not system, but symptom of divorce is marriage.
It's marriage. Yeah, yeah. Always. Yeah. It's always going to, yep. That's, you can't go through that divorce without the marriage.
That's right. Awesome. Hey, well, so Dino, I introduced you a little bit, but, you know, introduce yourself a little bit further. Tell us your story.
Well, my story is a story of maybe confusion, I guess, now that I think about it. I started the business of marriage back in 2006. And I did it because I was doing some executive business mentoring, and I found that I had a whole roster of clients whose main challenge was how to grow their business without sacrificing their marriage, right? You know, or the different ideas that they had of how to grow their business, and that would cause challenges in their marriage too. Because the majority of my clients were couples who were new entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs who are trying to grow. And so I would just start giving these people systems that I I thought would be, you know, work well because they work well in businesses. I made them basically look at their business as a high level business anyways. And that, in doing so, I had clients come back to me and say, hey, you know, you have put these systems into our business, but they've really been helping us in our marriage. Do you teach something like that? So now, you know, basically what I tell people is that I help high income producers replicate their business success into their personal relationships. And so I've been doing that since then. I've always had a passion for marriage because when I was 8 years old, my parents divorced, and I still remember the emotional like pull that took on me. In my small town of California where I grew up, there weren't a lot of other kids that were divorced. And so especially in my social circle, right, of 8 years old, it wasn't very big, but still the town wasn't very big. And I just remember that feeling of frustration and anger and really kind of mad at my parents going, why can't you figure this out? Like, seriously, people, I knew what to do. Of course, in my 8-year-old mind, I knew how to fix their marriage. But,
right.
You know, so I've always had a passion for that. I was always the guy who people came to me for advice, whether it be in high school or even afterwards. I still remember people coming to Shannon's and my apartment when we were first married. And friends of ours that got married around the same time of us, and they'd come over and be like, why are you guys not wanting to kill each other? We hate each other. You know, it's like, we don't want to be around each other. We've only been married a year. We're going to kill each other. How do you guys do it? And we would just be the advice couple. And so when I had that opportunity, I always thought I'd have to be like a marriage therapist or a counselor. And I never wanted to do that. I went through that with my parents. I didn't think it was effective at all. And the more I researched it, the more I saw that there was a 70% failure rate of marriage counseling. So I was like, well, why do I want to get involved in that? So what I do is called a marriage mentoring, where I actually give people specific tools for the areas that they're challenged in their life so that they can have the success that they want. So that's really what I do.
That's awesome. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, you hear it sometimes said, among, you know, certain people that, you know, there's no amount of success that can compensate for failure in the home, right?
I use that tagline all the time. As a matter of fact, I just recently did some new videos we're kind of relaunching our website, and I use that. I tweak it a little bit. You know, there's no success that you can have in your business that can compensate for failure in your marriage. But I do. I think it's so powerful. That's one of my favorite quotes of all time. That quote actually drives me when I'm thinking of how I'm going to create a new product or whatever. I think of how can I make something that will help them succeed in both their business and their marriage, so they don't have to choose one over the other.
Right. Well, it's a lot of times it is, like you mentioned, it's the same skills that help you be successful in business also help you in the marriage.
And it's so funny. You know, I don't know about you, Chris, but with all the coaching you do with, you know, your clients, for the most part, is the stuff that you teach them really like graduate level, doctorate level type stuff, or is it the small, simple things?
You know, I'd say what I expected it would be the doctorate level type stuff that people always wanted, but the stuff that people needed is definitely the small and simple things that make huge, huge results.
Yeah, it's so fascinating how I just finished up with another client just the other day. They did a 12-session package with me. And in that, at the end, the stuff they were raving about, the stuff that they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe the transformation in our relationship, whatever, was literally like the first couple of things I taught them. And they're the most simple things that I could teach somebody. But I don't go into deep, crazy stuff. We don't go into, oh, how did your mom or dad hurt you? Or, you know, let's talk about when you were 8 years old and somebody gave you a bad idea about marriage or whatever. Like, we don't go into that stuff because I figure if you fix the stuff that's happening to you right now, it'll automatically help the stuff that you've had to deal with in the past. And it was like the smallest thing that I was going. And I do every, there are certain staples that I have with my clients that I will say, okay, are you doing this? Well, no. Well, that's why you're not getting the result that you want. I mean, it's just simple. It's the simplest stuff. But people just want to make it really complicated.
So true. And what you do is such a big level. I mean, it's funny because I was at my, you know, at one of my recent events, I had some couples talking about, you know, their experience of what they did and how they went about doing it. And I remember, you know, two of the couples, both of them, one of them saved about $2,500 a month in cash flow. The other one saved over $3,000 a month, right? It was like,
wow.
Or $40,000 a year. And I was trying to get them to talk about that. And they said, well, that was great, Chris. But, you know, honestly, it was what happened with our marriage and our communication that made the biggest difference.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. But tell us more about the numbers.
But, you know, isn't that's what you do, though, right? I mean, I know a good amount of stuff that you do, and you just help people start talking about the numbers, having accountability and intention on specific areas of their money that totally transforms what they do. Yeah, sure. There's the first stuff that you do, which is okay, how do you find where they're leaking money? But when it comes to making sure that they stay on track with all of that stuff and how they can continually build up their savings, that's all based upon communication. And that's what you teach them how to do and be accountable to each other.
Yeah. And what good is all that money if you don't have someone to enjoy it with, right?
Yeah, especially if it ends up being half, right? I mean, it's like, great, save up all the money just so you can have half of it. That's what I laugh about people with their businesses. You know, I deal with primarily, you know, your orthodontist and your dentist and some chiropractors. And in that realm, I always tell them, I'm like, look, I don't care how successful your business is, how happy you're going to be when you have to give up half of it because you're not communicating right about your money and you're not focused on it. So, yeah.
Right. So true.
Yeah.
So what are some of those simple things that people are missing?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and you know, I should ask you too, do we have an hour here? Do we have a half an hour? How long do we have?
Oh, we've got about 18 minutes.
18 minutes left. Okay. So let's go through some things pretty quickly. Because I figure since we're going to be talking about money, I think one of the things that people don't talk about is financial infidelity. And that's why I really wanted to bring this topic up, because it's actually considered by about 60% of Americans as equivalent to sexual infidelity. Now think about that. Like 60% of people view you cheating on them financially the same as they do sexually. And it ultimately leads to people believing that if you're going to cheat about that or lie about that, why wouldn't you lie about sex? So there's that trust issue, right?
Yeah.
So there is a recent study done that I think is pretty fascinating that says that 1 in 3 American couples is actually cheating on their spouse right now.
Wow.
1 in 3. And we're talking cheating financially, right?
Yeah.
But I do agree with that idea that 60% of people say that if you're going to start lying about the little things like how you're spending money and what you're doing with money, then, you know, lies beget lies beget lies. So who's to say it's not going to turn into some sort of sexual infidelity? So I'll just go through this real quick, because I think there's actually some very fascinating things about financial infidelity. And what I mean by financial infidelity is if you're doing anything with money that is not communicated to your spouse and, as a matter of fact, hidden from your spouse about that money. And a lot of people will look at it this way. Well, it's my money versus their money. I don't believe in that. I believe in joint checking accounts. I don't know about your philosophy, Chris. I'm thinking it's the same. But I believe that couples should have joint checking accounts. Of course, business accounts are separate. But
sure.
I don't believe in separate bank accounts, because I believe that one tiny wedge will eventually splinter the entire marriage. I've seen it over and over again. People who are like, no, this is the way we've done it. It works best for us. And all I say is, okay, well, it works great for you now. But I'm just telling you, I've never seen one turn out well, you know, for the long term. But, hey, Chris, let me ask you this. Who do you think cheats more about money, men or women?
Oh, that's tough, because I've seen both. I'm gonna say men.
You're right. Yeah, men do. I was actually surprised about this. There's a study done by Today, you know, the TV show, and Self Magazine.
Yeah.
And they interviewed like 23,000 people or something like that. But they said men are the biggest cheaters. That twice as many men hid purchases from their partner than women did. I mean, that's pretty crazy. Now, I think about it sometimes, and I'll tell you, I've cheated on my wife before. I'm just going to be totally, you know, transparent in the sense that I cheated financially on my wife before. I've gone through a drive-through before I was, you know, as I was on my way to dinner and eaten something before I actually came home and had dinner. I've gone out to lunch before when I was, you know, I actually packed my lunch, you know, in my old corporate job. Like, I've done that. So I get that. And then we're going to talk about some other ways that, you know, people cheat on each other. But isn't that interesting? And also, it's also interesting that a lot of people think about how it's only people who have money that can hide money. So it's only people who are like the one percenters who have money. But actually, the financial infidelity, it actually affects more people who have paycheck to paycheck lives. Because if one person withdraws like $40 from the ATM, that could be the whole budget blown for the food bill that month.
Right.
Or that week. So it's pretty, pretty crazy. Anyways, I wanted to give you like five kind of most common ways to cheat. The first one is hidden credit cards and gift cards. And they're typically exposed, obviously, when there's a need for credit, like a house or a car or whatever they're going to purchase. And then the other spouse finds out, hey, I thought we had a better credit score than this. Or, you know, what are these late payments of this credit card that I don't understand? So it's a big way that people commit infidelity is through hidden credit cards or even gift cards. I've seen this. I had a couple who she would go and get gift cards so that it doesn't – she'd take money out, stash money, and put it all on a gift card. So then she could be like, well, it's not an actual credit card, so it's not affecting our credit. But she was stashing it all on gift cards instead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know this is not – I'm going to give you more stuff for you to look for when you're looking for the leaf, right?
How much do you buy in gift cards every month? All right.
Right, exactly. And that's the way that they do it. So, oh, I needed to get little Sally, you know, her friend an iTunes card or a gift card for the birthday party. That it never went to that person. It was something that they kept, you know. So interesting that we're. The next way is by stashing cash. Okay, now this is something that's very personal to me because my mom was a huge cash hoarder, if you want to call it that, or stasher. My stepdad was a concrete construction worker, and he had his own business. And in that world, you know, you've got a flux of good months, bad months. You know, summer's really great, winter's not so great.
So
my mom would actually stash cash, and when they would get into financial troubles, because he was just a big spender. You know, he was the type of guy that if he was just on a whim and talk about financial infidelity, he would just. You know, when they were in an argument, he'd go buy a TV. Or when they're in a really bad argument, he'd go buy a car. You know,
wow.
Yeah. So she would stash cash, and it got to the point to where every winter when business was bad, it would be like, man, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We have no money. And then she would just like pull it out of her thing and be like, okay, I have this money over here, and she'd be able to make it okay. Well, he got used to that, so he even more came – became less focused on the money and kind of reckless with the money. And so in doing so, he just expected her to be able to fix it. And that summer or that winter where she had not been able to stash as much, they weren't able to fix it. Another thing about that, though, is that if you're focusing on stashing cash because you're fearful of your husband or your wife not being able to make the money, then what are you focused on, right? What you focus on expands. So –
right.
If your intention is that, that's what's going to happen eventually. The third one is a secret shopping trips. So this was something that Shannon used to cheat on me about. And I love that she's not here so I can say that. But it's that thing where, you know, you secretly go to Target and you're going to go there and you're planning on spending only $20, but you end up spending $100. And you take the shoe boxes or the Target bag and you throw those away and you clip off the tags. And then when your spouse goes, wow, that looks like a new outfit, I haven't seen it before, you do the whole, oh, no, I haven't. Yeah, I just haven't worn it forever. I've had this for a long time, though. You know,
that's the time.
I'm going to say, I know nobody on this call is going to say it does that, right? It's just me and Shannon. I get that. It's cool.
That's right.
But it's funny because in that article that I was reading about all of this and the study that I was doing, I mean, there are people talking about like hidden Botox treatments. I don't know how you can hide that. Like you're really inept spouse if you're like, honey, all of a sudden your upper lip can't move or whatever. But it's like plastic surgery and going to the spa. That's one. Your husband's gone all day or your wife's gone all day and I'm going to just go get a massage or whatever. Things that aren't planned out, right?
Right.
one that I love. I don't know. Have you read the book, The Power of Habit, Chris?
No, I've just barely heard of it though.
Okay, amazing book. I suggest everybody read that book. I use it all the time now in my programs of talking about how the challenges that you're having in your marriage, they're not things that you're actually consciously choosing to do a lot of times. It is actually a habit that you've created over time. And I love the book. Well, in the book, he talks about a woman who gets into a gambling habit, so much so that she not only blows her whole entire life savings and an inheritance of almost $1 million, but that the hotels, once you start going and gambling, whether you're good or not, because, you know, you're going to win some, but the more you just show up at these hotels and casinos, they'll give you lines of credit. So not only had she blown all of her money that she had, she ended up also having something like $400,000 or $500,000 in lines of credit from the hotel.
Wow.
So be really careful about, I'm not a gambler, but I know there are people out there gambling, you know, whether it be the lottery that can build up over time or something like a hotel gambling in that situation. So just know that, man, it's something that can be really detrimental to you. And the story in this book is the woman ended up suing the casino because the casinos, they don't care if you're addicted to gambling or have a habit of gambling. They don't care about your life story. Their whole goal is just to continually get you back in there. And they did stuff even to, give her free flights with her and her friends and free shows and free hotel stays just to get her to come in and gamble. So
wow.
Be real careful about that. And of course, her husband didn't know about it for years and all that stuff because it was secret and they had separate accounts and crazy stuff. And the last one that I wanted to tell you about that I think is really common in my life, in the sense of I deal with mentoring, right? I deal with coaching.
Right.
And I think that is important to have in your life. But sometimes I've actually been run into couples who I've found out through the process are committing financial infidelity because they're hiring coaches or mentors or going to seminars without telling their spouse.
Right.
And they do it under the guise of, hey, I'm trying to better our life. And if I don't do this, then I won't be able to make more money. And therefore, this is a good thing. And people will often justify good things that, yeah, great, getting a coach, hiring Chris to help you with your money is a good thing. But can you really afford it? Should you start off maybe with some of his smaller packages or his online free help so that you can? I mean, there's at least have the discussion about it. But I have seen over and over and over again, couples are like, oh, well, my wife doesn't know about that. Or couples who have come to me and saying, yeah, he hired this guy for, you know, $100,000 this year and never told me about it. And even though it's a business expense, it's still an expense that affects the family. So those are kind of the five little areas, things you should look at, kind of some red flags or warning signs that you should look out for are, you know, partners who want total control of the finances with no input from you. That's a big red flag. Suspicious withdrawals from investment accounts. That's a big one too. And then when your partner continually changes the subject when money discussion comes up. And I know you don't have any money avoiders that you deal with at all, right, Chris?
Never, never.
So here's the thing. Shannon and I always say this in our seminars that you should definitely, like I said earlier, I believe in joint checking accounts. I don't believe in separate checking accounts. I do believe in a separate account, though, not only for business, but I think you can all both have your own individual account for play money. That has to have a specific preset limit. Meaning that if Shannon gets $100 a month for play money, I get $100 a month for play money. But anything over that $100, we both have to talk about and agree upon beforehand. So let's just say 1 week, you know, there's a golfing trip that my friends want me to go with, and it's going to cost me $200. That I'm going to have that conversation with Shannon about that.
Right.
We are huge fans of cash conferences. This is a weekly meeting that you get together. You look at all of your bank accounts. You see what's going in, what's coming out. There's total, what we call radical transparency. No one has a password that the other person doesn't have. Everybody has full access to it. Shannon doesn't really work as much in the business, in the sense of like she's kind of there with me in the business. But when it comes to the day-to-day operations of the business, that's pretty much what I do. But she has full access to every single one of my accounts, whether it be my PayPal account or my business account or obviously our personal account. There's nothing she doesn't have access to, and credit cards as well, which we don't. We have two little small credit cards for, you know, rental cars and stuff. But other than that, she has full on access to everything. So those are some really, really important tips on how you can actually have those two, and how you can avoid the act of infidelity, financial infidelity there.
I love that. That's great stuff, man.
Trying to talk very fast. Sorry.
Yeah, that's great. No, I tell you, I mean, I've seen with just, I mean, I've worked with hundreds of couples. Obviously, you're going to come across a few things that are pretty common. And, you know, that's one I've definitely seen. I mean, I've had several couples that have been married for 30 plus years, never really talk about money. Either one, because they're hiding it, like you were saying, they're being infidels, right?
Yep.
or on the other front, where they might be, just not talking at all. Either they're hiding money or they're just not talking about it. And I mean, I had one lady who you mentioned that fifth point. I actually had one lady where after she hired me, we looked at it and found out she charged up over $100,000 in self-help programs in the last year and a half. And her husband had no clue.
Wow.
And she just barely quit her job too. She worked at the job for 30 years, but then at one of the self-help seminars, she asked the guy, "Well, hey, should I quit my job?" He's like, "Yeah, I don't see why not."
Yeah. Okay. That I'm just gonna have to, because you just hit a nerve there, Chris. It's just driving me crazy. Okay. So I used to do mentoring for real estate. And of course, whenever I get that person coming in, their biggest thing is I want to make $1 million right away, or $100,000 or whatever, right? And this one is what hit the nervous. I want to quit my job in a month. And I'd always look at people, even people who are now starting businesses, I don't care if it's real estate or what, but I don't understand why people wouldn't look at the job that they have right now is the thing that funds them to be able to start their business, as opposed to quitting it so you have no money.
Exactly.
Like, do your business part-time. Do it on the weekends. Yeah, that's what it's called, being an entrepreneur. You're going to have to work harder. Yep. So take that opportunity and go, my 9-to-5, I know I'm making, let's just say, I'm making $4,000 a month in my normal everyday job. That $4,000 allows me the opportunity to do the thing I want to do. So do not quit it until you actually make $5,000 a month off of the side job.
Right.
It's like, it just drives me crazy when people do that. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Now you can tell I'm a little passionate about that.
Not at all.
I just, you know, look, I think that money is that, in all frankness, the stupidest thing in the world to get divorced over. Because there are people out there like Chris that can help you and figure that money stuff out. It's just numbers. It's black and white. It doesn't have an opinion. It's not something that is emotionally hurt or stunted. So if you can just get somebody who can help you through the financial part of things, then it's not that difficult. Like, you get somebody – and I got to say, I'm not the greatest money manager. Okay, I'm not the greatest money manager. I just know that there are specific people and things that I can have help me in that arena, and it changes your world. So – look, if you're committing financial infidelity, it's time to fess up. It's time to have a come to Jesus moment with your spouse and get somebody like Chris and look at just where you're leaking and show where you can actually make the money or just continue to hold on to the money so that it doesn't affect your marriage, so you don't become another statistic.
Amen. So true. Man, dude, this has been powerful. This has been awesome. I appreciate your time in this interview today. Hey, tell our listeners that what's the best way they can get a hold of you? Like, they got some questions, or if they want to maybe even see how they can work with you, what would be the best way they can get a hold of you?
Just go to thebizofmarriage.com, that's BIZofmarriage.com. Actually, a faster way is just go to dinowatt.com. You can also email me straight at my email at dinowatt@gmail.com. There's no S in the back of Watt, so it's dinowatt@gmail.com.
Yep, you're a single Watt, not two, right?
That's right. That's right.
Awesome. Vito, this has been great. So appreciate your time being on the show today.
Thank you, Chris. It was a lot of fun.
So, All right, everybody. Hey, appreciate your time as well. And again, make sure that you make it a prosperous week. And, you know, hey, this is what we're all about. It's all about abundance and about prosperity. Go make it a great week. We'll talk to you later.